welcome to the CBS in Days edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're discussing Adam getting caught by Victor, Donna and Pam drop by The Price is Right, Ray finds out about Olivia and Natalia, Sammy mourns the loss of her child, and there was a little interview that took place on As the World Turns that we'll discuss. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie, welcome.
Hello.
Mike, welcome.
Hello.
Mel, welcome.
Hey.
Jillian, welcome.
Hi, haters.
Haters?
Oh.
You don't know that song. Just.
Oh, I know.
Don't hurt himself.
Yes, I don't want to hurt myself. I've already been injured already. let's dive into this week's shows. Young and the Restless. Adam was watching a computer, and it dropped on the floor. And started looping, and Ashley and Victor caught him. Great stuff, Jamie.
Adam's goose was cooked, or started getting cooked this week. I'm glad the twist happened, but part of me is kind of thinking the story is over. And I'll tell you why. I don't buy Victor Newman being snowed by this guy any longer.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no way. I expected Victor to grab him up and tell him he found him on a stripper pole and throw him out of the window. I just, for me, I don't know if I would have played that beat. I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna fasten my seatbelt and stay in for the bumpy ride. It was great, suspenseful television, but, and, you know, I guess it's leading into the new stuff, but I don't know. Victor's just the sharp. Victor Newman has always been the sharpest tack in the box, and I really think he'd know by now. He would just know beyond a shadow of a doubt. He knows that Estella is not evil. You know, Ashley is a bag of nuts always, so it's like, that should be enough. Victor should know that it's Adam, but, you know, so we'll see, but it was a good twist.
I agree with you with that, but at the same time, you know, I guess they're trying to play, you know, Victor's not that young spring chicken anymore, so people can't, you know.
Oh, Eric Braden is going to give an interview.
I don't mean. Let Eric do it. Go on ahead, Eric.
Some
do
of
it.
These bloggers like to talk about how Victor Newman is not the man he was. Victor Newman will always be the man that he once was.
Go ahead, Eric. Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Well, I'll sweat you like some folk, but I'm saying, like, I'm not saying, you know, age-wise, I'm saying, you know, it comes a point in your life where Victor, you know, he's not quick to catch on to some folks' BS anymore. I'm not saying because of his age. I'm not saying that, so don't say I'm ageist. Chill. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, I'm like, come on, Victor, you cannot smell the BS from this boy a mile away. Whenever something is going on, he happens to be around. Estella is nowhere to be around, and now all of a sudden it's Estella. Estella's that tech savvy to go up in there and frame Adam. You have security on the Newman Ranch, and you can't get one security footage tape of that hoe trying to plant something. You know, it's just, I guess they're trying to say Victor ain't as hip as he used to be. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat. I was hoping that Adam, instead of trying to hit the computer, toss the bitch out the window so it can crack and you'd be like, I heard it too. Or something, but it's starting to wane.
I kind of took it as, I agree with Jamie somewhat, but I took it as he wants to absolutely catch him red-handed. He wants to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that is the one that's doing the gaslighting, and there's going to be no doubt in his mind when he catches Adam. That's how I take it.
Mike, what did you think this last week of Jill going back to her roots at the salon? I got an email from Jillian, and Jillian was like, dude, you better have screen capped that picture. And unfortunately, that was a day that I hadn't watched it live, but I know Jillian was a bit excited about it.
Go ahead, Mike. Go on, Mike.
Actually, I liked it because, well, here's the deal. That's that whole thing about how poor is she really. But I also think that, you know, Catherine refuses to hire her. She refuses to sell her house, half of the house, to Catherine. She refuses. Neither one of them wants to help each other out. And I feel like maybe somebody who's had money that all of a sudden doesn't, when they, even if they have a little bit left, feels like they need to kind of fill their coffers again. So she has to go somewhere where nobody's going to know.
Where are her Jabot shares? That's what I don't get. Oh, where are Jill's Jabot shares? I hate stuff like that. It's like,
in Clear Springs somewhere. I don't know.
I'm like, come on, people. You know, they're paying great attention to the show, but the Abbotts and Jill, Jill got 20% of Jabot when she divorced John.
It seems to be more like comic relief, you know, that Jill would go back to, you know, buffing nails, but, you know, she's not going to do it in a nice part of town where people are going to know who she is. I find it humorous, but I don't really find it believable that she's that destitute that she has to do that.
No, me neither. I don't either. It's a nice nod to history, but come on. You mean Lauren wouldn't hire her as at least a sales manager at Finmore's? I mean, she's ran a cosmetics company, for God's sakes, or worked at one for 20 years.
Not only that, she can't go to Billy, who works at Jabot and say, Billy, hook your mother up with a job. Jack can't use, you know, she can't go to Jack and say, Jack, you can
Well, she did try to go to Jack.
Well, yeah, that's true. But she can't go to Billy. Like, that's stupid. I mean, I had heard that spoiler, like, a source of mine was like, girl, Jill's going to be buffing nails.
They're setting her up to be this as everything. She's going to lose everything. You know, she's lost Phillip. She's lost her family. She's lost who she thought was her mother. She's going to lose her son, Kane. So I just think it's like this whole big thing about how desperate is she going to be when she finds she has nothing left. I just really think it's more to emphasize that.
I didn't think they were going to go there, but when I got the spoiler, someone said to me, it was like, she's going to be buffing nails. I was like, months ago, I was like, get out of here. They ain't going to have Jill buffing nobody nails. And when I saw that, I almost had a heart attack. And like Mel said, she had attitude. I couldn't blame Jill with that when she was like, it's smudge. I was like, I was waiting for Jill to smudge that girl because the old Jill would have been like, get out my chair.
Mel, you were impressed this last week with Chloe.
Oh, yeah. Those scenes, like I was talking about in Performer of the Week, with Billy were awesome, you know. Like I said, he was going up there, going to get some off of Always Chloe, you know, because he knows he can get some off of her, and she wasn't having it this time. And I appreciate that. I want more stronger women in daytime. And for her to finally just stand up for herself and be like, you're not getting any, I'm leaving, I'm going, take this ring with you too.
And no Chloe, Hello Kitty for you.
Okay. No.
And for Chloe to give back a ring, because we know how Chloe is, you know.
Okay.
For her to give back a ring, that says something. And I got a cut for that, so.
Chloe's growing up. She really is growing into a really viable character. I've always loved her, but yeah, she's really showing growth.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, you and Jillian broke two stories on the blog this last week. You broke the one about Adam sleeping with Rafe, and Jillian broke the one about Lily getting cancer. Tell us about the Rafe storyline.
Basically, Adam is going to become so desperate to keep his secret that he takes one for the team.
Literally?
takes one or gives one?
Well, he might be given one. You know, you never know. Don't just go ahead and classify Rafe. You know, Rafe might be the pitcher. Who knows? But, I doubt it. But no. they're going there. Wyatt R. Some reader said it best. It took As the World Turns years for Noah and Luke to have sex, and Wyatt R. is going there in the butt of these two, you know, but it's not, you know, from what I gather, there's not going to be some romantic storyline. Adam is straight. He's just desperate to keep Rafe from turning him in, so he knows Rafe has a crush on him, and so he's going to give him the business, and according to Nelson Branco at TV Guide Canada, this is the reason why Chris Ingen really left. It wasn't just the kiss. Nelson said he didn't want to spoil the sex storyline, so he labeled it a quote-unquote kiss. Supposedly, or reportedly, that's what made Chris Ingen say, not no, but hell no.
Well, and Chris Ingen's last day is this next week on the 24th. Michael,
the day before the scene airs, I believe. So.
Yeah.
Anyone who's wondering, was that the reason? You know, I mean, I'm not going to get into another big debate over that, but
yeah,
I mean, you know, he's put Botox in his eye. The character that he plays has done all these other things, but it just behooves noting that the day before the day the character was supposed to boink another guy, and from what I gather, it's not even going to be. I mean, it's going to be, you know, this is daytime, and when people keep bringing that up, your body and this and that. When is a daytime soap ever? I must have missed these daytime soaps where they get buck naked and really show sex. I mean,
I know.
You know, we all know what this will be. It'll be a kiss and a fade to black, I'm sure. At the maybe some shirtless hugging or something. It's not like this is going to be. I mean, people have had hotter kisses, I'm sure, with their aunt Sally's than they're going to show with these two people on daytime. And it's like, I just stopped commenting back and forth because it was like, you know, what if someone wrote in a comment, what if someone said a woman had to get naked? I'm like, what if the price of tea in China was 75 cents a barrel? I mean, what does that, what, that is, these comments,
it's
I'm
apples
sorry,
and oranges.
It's not, yeah, it's persimmons and pomegranates. I mean, I don't, that's not going to, that never happens on daytime. You know, Ed Scott, or, you know, he's not even working anymore. Paul Rouse is not going to come on that set and say, show me your goodies, Michelle Stafford, or else you're fired. That doesn't happen. So compare it to something that actually happens, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous. And yeah, somebody did make a good point, and I will go there, that somebody was like, well, what if Maria scripted that Victor suddenly wanted to sleep with Jack? Of course Eric Braden wouldn't do that. Yes. But you know what? Call me a hypocrite. Eric Braden is a superstar. When you're a superstar, you get to have a little more allowances. Now, if he would walk out, I would not defend him if he walked out on a contract, though, because I still believe when you sign a contract on a daytime soap, it's a continuing drama. People keep talking about the role you sign on for. Soaps, in their very nature, continue on forever, meaning a character who starts off as a teenage girl talking to her mother one day becomes a supermodel, one day gets arrested and goes to jail and has a rock band. I mean, these are characters that they change every year. So it's like you can't go – no one goes into – a negotiating meeting with the soap. And, well, yeah, they do, and they get lied to all the time. We've interviewed people that, you know, Tamara Braun said this is not the way that they pitched the re-story. They, you know, nothing is tied to the original pitch, and I'm sure those contracts show that. It's like, I'm sorry, you know. I'm not going to say that it was because he was a homophobe. You know, when the initial report came out, I said alleged based on the initial report. But maybe it's that he just didn't believe in the story for whatever reason. But the fact remains he was in a contract. But, you know, Y&R is being gracious about it. They're letting him out. But people keep wanting to talk about his side of the story. That's probably why he won't be able to tell much more of his side of the story than he did on MySpace. Because Y&R could sue him for breach of contract. But anyway, yeah, he's going to be... Michael Mahoney. How do you say his name? Money? Michael Money. Well, I'm not being. No, I really didn't know.
I am not going to even attempt it.
Michael Money is going to be the one, which that sucks as a fan because all this buildup, all this tension, all this drama, and then the climax, wink, wink.
I know.
Give me a new face. It's like, damn.
I think that's going to be hard for people like who don't read the mags or get on the internet and check stuff for them to be like, wait, who is this?
Oh, that used to be the worst day when I was a kid when you tune in and it said, oh, I'll never forget when that awful girl replaced Robin Wright as Kelly on Santa Barbara. And, you know, I didn't read the mags at that point because I was like, what, 8? Mm-hmm. And I walked in there that day, and it was in the middle of a big story, and it was like, the role of Kelly Capwell is now being played by this douchebag. And I was like, where's Kelly? And it was some redheaded girl.
Jillian, is Lily dying?
Yo, she's going to have ovarian cancer. That's why they're doing this whole she can't get pregnant jive. I've known about this for quite some time, but didn't want to ruin it for viewers. But until some people kept messaging me and was like, is Ashley going to have it? Is it Lily? Is it Toucan Sam? That's when I was like, okay, I'm going to break it.
Wait. Toucan Sam?
Okay, Luke.
Did Kevin give it to her is what I want to know. Kevin gave her the nasty pants a couple of years ago, and that can cause ovarian cancer.
I know, but, you know, people, y'all need to get with it. Y'all were complaining about her not being in front burner. Well, ta-da, how you like it now? She going to be front burner. Don't get at me because you don't like it. You don't like the storyline.
Jillian didn't write the story. That's what's so crazy.
One fan tried to call me everything, and I was like, see, you're about to cost me to go grease up my face and come at you, but I'm like,
oh, don't
grease your face up, Jillian.
But
I'm going to be
diplomatic and say this one time. Do not come at me because you do not like a storyline. Because you cannot get at Maria, don't mean you can take it to Jillian like that. You had a problem with Lily not being front burner storyline. She's in a front burner storyline. Y'all keep saying Crystal Khalil can act her ass off. Well, maybe this storyline will make her act her ass off. And I can't even say that with a straight face, but I'm just giving her the benefit of the doubt. She's going to have a front burner storyline. Get with it. It can't always be the Kane and Lily love fest. It will get stale on the soap. This
is
going to
get stale.
But then at the end, this is going to bring them closer. Don't you want Kane and Lily to be closer and have an epic love romance? Well, here you go.
Poor Jillian, that thread got out of control. I know, you know. I tell you, it got out of control. That's why I have always been like this, and I believe writers should be like this. I can't stand the character of Lily with Crystal in it. I make no bones about it, but recognize she has a fan base. And I would never kill that character off. I would never get rid of that actress because she's popular.
Yeah.
The thing of it is, if I had my druthers, I would want to encourage her to book as many primetime gigs as she possibly could. So that maybe she could leave on her own accord.
Very successful.
But I would never get rid of her because she is popular. I you know what? You can't tell why different people are popular. She does have her fans, though. They are very vocal and I don't get it, but...
Jamie, going to As the World Turns for a moment, Gene Passanante has a quote, which you blogged about this last week. It goes, "I don't think the nature of stories are different at all. I just think that sometimes the form is slightly different. And speaking from stuff that we're writing now, we were just writing something where we were playing one day for 5 days because there was a cliffhanger at the end of the episode." That had a lot of people scratching their heads in the comments.
She drunk blogging. That's what she did.
What do you think?
No, it was an interview. I feel, Lord, that poor reporter, I bet they were sitting there just like, Jesus, take the wheel. What did she just say? Is this what the cavemen wrote on walls? I mean, that quote is the biggest bunch of passive-aggressive BS since Chris Ingen's MySpace statement. It's like, you said all that to say nothing. Nothing at all.
She should have just kept quiet.
You know, it's like...
In a lot of interviews, though, she always talks in circles in interviews and never really... I mean, from what I've seen in other print media, she just never really addresses anything. She talks in a big circle and never really says anything.
Someone need to tell her to stop doing interviews. Someone need to tell that chick, stop doing interviews. I'm sorry, that made no sense. I get that you're trying to explain why the storylines are going so fast, but you didn't make any sense, just like your storylines don't make any sense, so you just should have hushed it. You should have let Chris
out. This show is over. It's over.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to, you know, I'll get roasted. I don't care. It's over. I can see the writing on the wall. They're not going to do anything. I'm ashamed of Procter & Gamble and Telenext for this. They're going to let these monsters eat daytime, eat another soap. I'm just over it. I mean,
they're debuting a web soap in China.
You know, and then they're bringing on Lucky Gold and David Kreisman. Why? What did they couldn't save God and Light? You know. God, it's just so frustrating because we all want this genre to survive. That's why when people are like, you know, whoa, be more positive. Just stick our heads in the sand? Do they really think bringing over David Kreisman, you know, and Lucky Gold or any of these other losers is going to do anything to help stave off the bleed out that is going on this show? When Barbara Bloom and Chris Gautman gave that freaking interview and basically announced they were going to only – tell stories 3 days a week but still get paid for five, You know, I knew then. And, you know, it's just, it's a bad show. It's just bad. It's got great actors and history and all that. But these people might as well start their rallies. You know, go ahead and start your rallies, because you're going to be fighting for this one in 6 to 9 months, because they don't want to save this show. They do. They are in a defeatist mode, and this is not me saying this. This is what I know. I know. I have heard from inside people that the people at the top, already feel like it's over, and they're just coasting. Chris Galtman is just coasting. They don't care. They're going to coast to the end, and it's like, ride it out for what it's worth. There's no Gloria Monty spirit on this show, like, let's do whatever it takes to save it. There's none of that there. And it shows on screen.
Mel.
You know, and Guiding Light gets all this praise, but Guiding Light, it took a cancellation notice for them to get their heads out of their ass.
Mel, what do you think of the Easter egg hunt going on for Emily's eggs?
Yeah, that's what I think of it. I'm just going off of what Jamie says. The show is just bad.
And Mike, do you think that this
is going, don't you?
Well, that's what I was just going to ask. Is that kid the brother?
Hunter, yeah. That's what I think it's going to be. There's no other reason why he would be looking for his father, and then all of a sudden Emily's involved in this thing. The only good thing, really, is that Emily and Susan get to mix it up, because those are the, you know, there's the moments of gold on that show. And when you put, you know, the families interacting like Susan and her daughters, that works for me. Barbara and Lisa works for me. I just think, like, when you have that intergenerational stuff with all those people that have been there for a long time, that's what makes me feel like I'm watching As the World Turns. The rest of it is crap.
So you don't like Bonnie and Dusty?
I can't believe they let her kiss that fine man with her kid looking like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's glue tracks. She got glue tracks in there. I'm like,
they
at
let her kiss that
hair.
Man.
Mel.
And then he had swagger after he kissed her.
Okay.
Swagger. I was like, my dear, you did not kiss Halle Berry. I was like, you kissed humpy hair, girl. That girl, that hump on her head.
Mel,
that show and that the hairstylist at that show needs to be fired. They've got Katie McClain walking around looking like strawberry shortcake. you know, that poor boy that plays Casey, I don't ever know what has happened to his head.
Looks like a 12-year-old. And then
any given day, you know who gives good hair?
Lamar West hair.
You know who gives good hair? Noelle Beck.
No,
she does. She does.
It's a sad day when Henry, who's wearing a wig, has better hair than Bonnie, who's supposed to be a fashionista. I'm just sitting there, I'm like, this is all shades of wrong. Like, I know CBS is in a budget crunch. You know,
Bonnie is a socialite. No.
Mel, before we move on to Bold and the Beautiful, I want to ask you about the Craig and Carly getting drunk dynamic. I won't spoil it for the Performer of the Week episode, but and what's discussed there, but what did you think of that story?
I don't know. I'm kind of torn on it. I love seeing Mara West on my screen, but I'm not, like Jamie says, I'm not exactly buying her being a drunk, Carly being a drunk. And then what was all this business about her going to Craig and she wants to be with Craig now because I'm not drinking alcohol anymore? And yes, she is. I just feel like, I don't know. I'm torn.
Jamie, you talk about it in the Performer of the Week episode, but about that storyline. But what do you think of the dynamic with Parker? Because Parker's starting to wake up to it.
Parker stopped acting like
a brat,
you know, long enough to realize that his mother's acting like one. But I defended Parker's teen rebellion for so long because I'm not one of those ones that believe kids on daytime or kids in real life should behave properly when their parents are dysfunctional messes. But Parker just took it to a new level of obnoxiousness, and now he's the sober coach for his mother. It's just like, I want him to do a DNA test because maybe Jack is the father, because he is so hypocritical. And it's just, I don't know, this story, and I know it's just a quick passanante quickie idea to get Mara off the show for, you know, the 7 weeks. I guess they'll send her to rehab. But who would have ever thought I'd be wishing for the days of magic spas?
I know.
Well,
it has really fallen flat. Carly, as a drunk, is fun, but not as an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And you gotta love them for once again spending another week of wasting Paolo Segante.
Meg. That it's hotness. Like, why is it like as Meg turns, all these men are fawning over Meg? Ugh.
Well, Barbara Bloom wrote Port Charles, and Marie Wilson was on Port Charles. Maybe they got to be buddies over there.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can understand about it.
And I want to go around the circle. Thumbs up and thumbs down for Bold and the Beautiful and Donna and Pam on The Price is Right. Jillian, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I have a middle finger up. That storyline sucked. Like, it just jumped the shark. I was like, I did not know soaps could jump the shark, but that sucker did.
Huh.
I was like, yeah,
but what? Surely you jest. Jest you surely.
I'm not going to put it all on Brad Bell because we keep blaming this Brad Bell, but one person is sitting there like, ha-ha, they forgot I'm over here. Kay Alden, you need to get it.
No, nobody forgets Barbara Bloom. Kay. Brad Bell owns the show. He's the only person, him and Maria are the only ones who executive produce and head write their show. So at the end of the day, you wear both hats. The blame. Yeah. He hired Kay Alden.
So yeah. Jamie, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Well, I'm going against the grain. Thumbs up for me. I thought it was hilarious. It was cute. It was funny. And that is classic B&B. B&B always had a heavy passion play sexy drama offset by some wackiness with Sally and her crew. So I didn't mind that. I mean, yeah, you have to suspend your disbelief that this woman tried to kill her via grizzly bear 6 months ago. But I thought it was funny. I thought, they really, spoofed their own relationship. I thought it was funny that, Donna didn't even give a darn about Bold and the Beautiful, then she's the one who gets to go up there. Then the stupid price.
Wait. You said Bold and the Beautiful. You mean Price is Right.
Yeah. Well, some wacky game show. But, so I thought it was cute. I liked the fact that they had her, her prizes were all stuff that she basically knew all about. Pam's lemon bars, the doggy treats, and then honey. And she's like, I buy honey every day.
I know. That was awesome.
I thought that was funny. I mean, as much as Donna gets on my nerves, Donna like that I could take because she works as a goofy bimbo, But when they have her in scenes with Susan Flattery that's when I'm just like, somebody, blow her up in a house or something. But when she's paired with Pam, they're hysterical.
Mike, thumbs up, thumbs down?
I'd have to go with the big bad down on that one. I don't really agree with Jamie. I don't find that. I mean, obviously it was just a way to put some spotlight on the fact that The Price is Right does have a ratings issue problem and they're trying to use whatever they can to boost it. I think if you're watching a daytime soap, I don't know. I just didn't really feel that it was the right place for it, and I don't buy that Donna and Pam would be buddies, and I don't really like this version of Pam very much. So I didn't like it. I thought it was a waste of time, and time trying to watch all this stuff 5 days a week is a precious commodity that was completely wasted for me.
Jillian, Owen proposed to Jackie this last week. Is it sincere, or is he after something more?
I don't know, man. Now, it's starting to get a little bit interesting on that side of the fence. Everything else in that chicken coop at Bell Studios, it's starting to get really interesting because as soon as he was sitting in that meeting and he was like, the wheels are just turning in that boy's head. So it makes me wonder, is he being sincere, or is he trying to get that cougar's money? I don't know. I'm on the fence a little bit because then, Brad Bell might just pull it out at the last minute. I'm going on a limb here. It's a small limb.
You mean like Storm going crazy in two episodes?
You know? And, oh, and maybe, I don't know. I'm just on the fence with that. I'm really on the fence with that.
Jamie, do you think he's up to no good, or is he really in love with Jackie?
Well, I hope that they don't write it that he's up to no good. The only point I could see with that would be servicing Jack Wagner being right and the Nick character coming out on top again. I mean, that is a really unique storyline that is, you know, that started before All My Children, and it's buzzed about Cougar Story. Boy, B&B's PR people need to get on the ball. I mean, All My Children, say what you will about them. They've got Susan Lucci basically christened the cougar, even though it's been 15 cougar stories, you know, in pop culture lately. But B&B was already doing one, and of course I realized that, you know, Susan Lucci is Susan Lucci. But, you know, Leslie Ann Down was in North and South, so they could have tried to get some publicity from that, you know. Think outside the box.
Well, I've been wondering about that because I was watching when I see the episodes. They have great chemistry, but after the Deacon and Jackie storyline, I just think to myself, and considering how Owen was introduced, it's just, he's been a schemer from the beginning. I want to think that this is like him being sincere, but at the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, he's just trying to steal this company. So
the company.
Well, if he takes and gets a divorce settlement, he will be like Brooke on at Forrester. He'll have a huge chunk of the company, and
Brooke
he'll be able to
got her chunk of
well,
the company.
Okay, I know, but what I'm saying is he'll have a huge chunk of the company that will allow him
right.
to manipulate stuff.
Get it right. She didn't get it because of a divorce.
I wasn't meaning to say she got it because of the divorce. I was
so
meaning
why'd you say it?
Because I was meaning it along the same lines of she's able to be like the person who everybody's fighting over, and he'll be the same thing at this place.
If he develops a wrinkle-free fabric, maybe so.
Melody.
Yes.
Right.
Well, let y'all act like my Brooke got her money on her back. She got her money in the lab.
She's got her money. We'll
Big Stephanie
thing.
Walking around. Jillian, I'm ashamed of you that
what?
You know I've been waiting. Waiting. Did you not see what Stephanie had on this?
I couldn't talk because you know King Clipper Carl Luke. That's what I'm calling him. King Clipper, well, let me get it at where Edge was. But yes, I saw her. I was like, Jillian. Oh.
Oh, Lord, that one right there. I'm sorry. I love Susan Flannery. They need to take her to Lane Bryant. They need to stop putting her in, as Jillian calls them, these Mr. Miyagi outfits.
You know,
did they just go to, like, some Chinese wholesale store and
I mean,
buy
I'm
all those get-ups for her? Like, she's some kibachi chef and... You know, while they were there, they got all those ponytails for Leslie Kay. It's like, no. And then sits the rest of it on up to As the World Turns for Body. It's like, come on, this is a fashion show. This is a fashion show.
Are we
I'm
really
like,
supposed to
does Brad Bell watch anything? Did he watch Sex and the City? Does he read Vogue? Does he
like,
look at Elle? I mean,
are we really supposed to believe that the matriarch of the Forrester family Stephanie, who's supposedly this, you know, important person of Forrester Creations, is supposed to be dressed like that. She's supposed
or
to
Or not even just her, all of them. For this to be a show about fashion, they have the wackest clothes.
Yeah.
Ever. Now, look at Y&R. Phyllis Newman is a fashionista.
No,
you
Phyllis
know.
Newman need to wear a bra. But you're going to have to edit that out.
Okay.
Go ahead, Phyllis. Rock your girls.
Mel.
Yes.
Rafe found out about his mother.
Why you
and Olivia. Because you are our guiding light news onset source person. So
yes.
You gotta deal with it. So what did you think?
Well, I thought... You know, here comes the big scene everybody's been waiting for. Rafe finds out about his mother and Olivia. And, of course, he had a natural reaction. He freaked out, which I completely and totally agree with. I understand why he's mad. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Jillian, or not Jillian, but Jamie, apparently Mel doesn't want to put her neck out there. What did you think?
I thought it was good. I thought EJ did a great job conveying that. I always thought he was a natural. I think he got paired with a dillweed and, body benefits, and he got grouped in unfairly with her bad acting and not knowing her lines and pausing and going, and looking up at the sky in the middle of a scene. You know, that wasn't that boy's fault. How do you follow that? How do you follow? How do you talk to an angel? I wouldn't know what to do with all that either, the stuff she hands him in a scene. But, you know, they've both since improved, not being in each other's orbit, you know. But I was impressed with that. I mean, he really brought it. I mean, and he, you know, it had to tear Natalia apart. And, you know, I'm just, this show is about to be canceled, and we still just have Olivia, you know, brushing hairs out of her face. And wouldn't it have been more dramatic if they would have just kissed? If he would have seen them kiss? I mean, no, that one sponsor that buys Quaker Oat ads at the third part of the hour might get mad. What does it matter? The show's going to be off soon. I mean, God.
If you notice, Guy's starting to kind of not care about things because Buzz was smoking a cigarette the other day. James called Philip a prick. Reva was like, "You want to get laid?" I'm like, "They don't care anymore."
Yeah.
Mike, what did you think?
They hadn't cared in a long time.
Mike, what did you think of James getting off the hook?
Oh, that was predictable. Very predictable. And of course, it's like Alex pointed out that Philip is becoming Alan and James will become him. And that was really, Philip probably felt like he was in a jam that he just had to try to do something. Of course, Beth was, you know, trying to get him to do something. Even though she doesn't want to be a Spalding and she doesn't want the Spalding influence, she didn't really mind going to Alan and Philip to try to get James off the hook. But that was very predictable. And boy, there sure are a lot of judges in Springfield on the take. Didn't Alan get rid of somebody by putting money in her trunk and letting her drive away with it?
To make Philip go to jail.
As far as, you know, Rafe went, I thought his best line was when he said, the two of you can go to hell because that's where you're going to go anyway. So that was the best part of that.
Speaking of Philip, though, Mel told me a while back this story, and I have to say, I was like, there's no way they would do that, would they? Cover a soap opera weekly, how Guiding Light will end, and they've got a picture of Grant Alexander. So, Mel, tell us what you know about that.
Okay, I heard from my source a couple of weeks ago that they were going to give Philip an incurable disease, and he only has 3 months to live. And how many months left do we have until cancellation? 3. And I'm going, no, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And then all of a sudden, we have Dr. Ed Bauer coming back because Philip goes see him. Because Philip is all of a sudden sick. And Ed's going to tell him that he has an incurable disease. And I'm going, are you kidding me right now, Ellen Wheeler? Are you really serious? You're going to bring back Philip? And then you're going to kill him off at the end of the show? What happened to giving the fans everything that they deserve and giving them special treats? Yeah, piss on that, just like you pissed on the rest of the show before. This is the reason that the show got canceled, because you want to come in here and you want to do BS storylines like this that nobody wants to see. You want to insult fans. You want to insult the history. You know what? This is the reason the show got canceled, because of things like this. And you know what, Ellen Wheeler? I really hope you never ever work in daytime again. Ever.
But our luck, she'll be on at some of our favorite shows.
I just want to go up to her and be like, just smack her in the hand and be like, are you stupid? Like, are you retarded? Really? This is the crap you pull all the time. And
my grandmother used to say, whenever I would say I'm sorry after I did something bad, my grandmother would say, don't be sorry, just don't do it.
I know.
Why is Ellen Wheeler crying like crocodile tears everywhere? Stop crying and stop. Even with only 3 months to go, you're still not paying. Do you really think after watching Reva battle cancer for 2 years, we want to see another favorite, iconic, Guiding Light character battle of diseases for the last 3 months of the show. What is your deal with death, sickness, depravity, rapists, skeevy greasers from Australia? What is it? What vision did Ellen Wheeler, while talking about the brotherhood of man and love saving the world? That's the biggest oxymoron ever. And, you know, I was starting to feel like, you know, maybe this woman does really feel bad about what she's done. But no. To give Philip cancer at the end of this show, she or whatever, incurable disease, cootie booties, whatever. This woman, yeah, she should never be allowed to even hold a camcorder again, let alone.
Well, and it sort of reminds you of the whole Another World thing. I mean, Another World was just atrocious those last few months. And
it's another thing. It's like she doesn't want to reunite Josh and Reba. Like, are you kidding me? The show is going to end 70 years and arguably one of the biggest super couples in Guiding Light history, and you don't want to reunite them? And then you want to kill off Philip?
I'm just hoping.
What is wrong with you?
I'm just hoping everybody who, you know, I'm going to put it out there. I'm hoping that everybody is watching Guiding Light and watching this and saying, I mean, when I say everybody, I mean on all networks. And they say to themselves, do not do that, Maria. You better be watching, because, you know.
Oh, Maria would never hire her to come.
I'm not saying Maria hire her.
No, I think Jillian's just meaning this is how you don't.
Oh, okay.
Don't do it, and, you know, I'm not saying Maria hire her. You never know. Barbara Boone might just pull the wool over us, and then we see, hi, guys. Oh, if that ever happened.
I wouldn't be surprised if Brian Franz picked her up. You know, he has such a hot nut for God and Light. Dead last show in daytime.
Oh, well, the thing is, don't you think that the bad press alone would prevent him? Can you imagine if he were to go to, like, Ellen Weir for One Life to Live?
The man who booted out Jeannie Francis. I don't think he's afraid of bad press.
True, true.
I heard a rumor about where Ellen Weir might go, but it's just a rumor.
What?
Guess. Just guess. What's up? I'll give you one guess.
One Life to Live.
Nope, it's on CBS.
If you say The Young and the Restless, I will.
No, I'm
As
not.
The World Turns?
We have a winner.
Well, that show's going by.
I'd have figured Stephanie, Sally, what's her name? Susan Flannery. I thought she'd probably come back and be talking about Brad. Now you need to hire her because she's a revolutionary.
Now I'll give Brad Bell props. He says, Susan, I'm going to tell you. Go kick rocks. I'm not bringing that girl over here.
I don't know.
Oh.
Every time she goes up there to visit P-Pack and comes back, we're seeing pika-pika-pika-pika-pika music and outside shots on the Bold and the Beautiful.
That's just a rumor. Don't freak out, everybody. It's just a rumor.
Let's talk about Days of Our Lives this week. In addition to Sammy mourning the loss of her child, there were some other interesting things going on. We had the debut of Mark Hapka, as well as a scene that Shelley Hennig was in, that I was like, when Shelley Hennig slapped EJ and told him to lay off, I was like, this is the first scene that I really like for once with her in it. Jamie, what'd you think?
Well, I've been enjoying Stephanie for a while, so yeah, her giving EJ the five finger hello, love it. you know, this, like I said, this feud has really started kicking up. Loved Nathan and Melanie. See, I get her confused with her name. I always would say Molly. But yeah, Nathan and Melanie, you know, I think they could be interesting. I'm enjoying Days. You know, I'm not putting too much thought into it and too much analysis, but I am enjoying Days, so.
And its ratings keep going up.
Oh, yeah, Days is a contender, but I've always known that about Days. Days is that one soap. GH used to have that too, that it could rebound quickly, but I don't know. GH is starting to.
You hear what you just said, right? Used to.
But Days fans are, I would say, the most loyal fans in daytime. They will come back for anything resembling a halfway decent story, and it just proves it over and over again. I just wish they were on a stable platform where, you know, which I guess none of daytime is all that stable, but somewhere where it's not like every year it's like, oh God, you have to fire five vets to stay on the air. But
Jillian, Wally Kurth is returning. Jamie was happy blogging about it, but what were your first impressions? And then we'll go to Jamie.
then I was like, damn, Days told me to tell y'all we still in this, bitch. They are just snapping people up. Oh, this is going to make the Kyriakis-Demera feud so badass and so faboosh if they, you know, if they play it right. You know, the fangirl in me was like, oh, my God, if they play it right, it's going to be like this. You know, because, you know, Justin has all those boys. He has the son named after Victor also, Victor the Second or whatever. So this could be really good, but then the realist in me is like, you know, after all those other those fan favorites, all those other fan favorites from the soap glory days came back, you know, it was just Dudville. I'm just hoping that, I'm not even going to give her the props, I'm hoping that Gary Tomlin utilizes this man's talents and doesn't just say, you know, we're bringing back a fan favorite to appease the fans and then, you know, tell him, you know, end up having Wally Kerf to go beg to GH for another job or something.
Jamie, you were excited.
Oh, yeah. You know, I am. I mean, it's Gary Tomlin is obviously a fan of the late 80s, early 90s era of Days, and he's rebuilding a lot of that. And I have to say, I've watched Days my entire life. I remember it from like 82-ish on, but when I was like addicted, it was the early 90s with Justin and Adrian and Carly and Bo and all that. You know, well, Justin and Adrian were leaving as Carly came on, but, you know, loved that era of the show, loved that writing, loved the sexiness of the show. You know, I post that promo all the time for One Stormy Night. I mean, I'm really excited about what's going on at Days. Yeah, they're in it to win it. They had to get rid of their A-list stars who were making a killing because of the popularity during the late 90s, definitely, you know, because James E. Reilly gave a huge second wind to the careers of Drake and Dee and Peter and Christian. Peter and Christian, you know, smartly took the big pay cut early on. You know, they didn't even offer Deidre the second time, from what I gather. But, yeah, they, you know, they are replacing their very expensive vets with vets who probably come a little cheaper and but are still just as popular as, you know, the other. Well, and yeah, and I'm sure that would cause some flack, but at one time I do believe Carly was right up there with Hope or Marlena in the pantheon of popularity on this show. Plus, not only that, and you see, this is the thing. They're not bringing back people, whereas when they brought back Patch and Kayla and Jack and Jen and all these other people that haven't made it, they weren't people who had just been super popular on another soap. Crystal Chappelle wasn't just somewhere not booking roles. Crystal Chappelle is coming off of being basically replacing Kim Zimmer as the most popular actress on Guiding Light at the end of its run, which I'm sure has to be making Kim want to chew, you know, vegetables or something. I don't know. But
Deidre Hall bites off puppy heads and
Deidre Hall bit off the head of the day that news broke. Deidre Hall bit off the head of a puppy. You know, because she's like, I got rid of that bitch once, and now I'm not in a position to do it again. But no, I'm just, that's all rumor. But you know, the tabloids went crazy when Deidre Hall came back. The tabloids said that she got rid of Crystal Chappelle, and you know, because she was like, this ain't enough room in here for two divas. But and that ticked me off. I'm going to be honest. I loved Marlena, and you know, and I don't know if that's true, but I've heard there was some truth to it. But you know, I give me Carly all day over Marlena. I'm sorry. And I love Deidre Hall, but she was phoning it in for the last 5 years on the show. Phoning it in.
Jillian, what'd you think of the funeral?
Yeah, it's a funeral. I mean,
No outstanding performances?
Not what EJ up in that mug. Wasn't EJ up in there?
So yeah. you didn't think that as Allison
Sweeney? Yeah, my bad. Sorry, Allie girl. Yes, Miss Allison Sweeney. She's trying to let y'all know. Even though I didn't get it this year, I know I'm going to get it next year. She is really doing it up big. Allison Sweeney's letting y'all know that she's not a pretty face, and just because she has faboosh hair on the show, don't make her a hair model. Allison Sweeney is is just taking the reins and is just going with that. Kudos to that chica. And I just, if she can, you know, pull, if she can do it for that, can you imagine what she's going to bring when she finds out who Grace, not Grace, but who Sydney really is? Ooh! Ooh!
Oh, and that will be interesting because it will be role reversal. Instead of EJ ripping into Sammy, it will be Sammy ripping into EJ and Nicole. And Sammy versus Nicole.
Or it could be this beat. EJ could end up thanking Nicole for allowing him the chance to raise his daughter.
Oh, I totally
agree. When Sammy was going to let him believe that the kid, that could be an interesting beat. But,
I think
Sammy,
they'll do it. I'm looking forward to Sammy versus Nicole and Sammy versus EJ. But I agree. What you just said, EJ will end up being thankful to Nicole. Totally agree.
I bet Sammy's going to, Nicole is going to put Sammy in a secret room.
From what I understand, in her interview with Sarah Babel, from what Allison Sweeney says is going to come down the pike when, she finds out who Sydney is. It's going to be some really good stuff. Real good stuff.
Well, on that note, final thoughts, Mike.
No, nothing this week. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Mel, final thoughts?
My final thought is I'm becoming more and more impressed every day with Elizabeth Henderson, Chloe, on Young and the Restless. I feel like she's really showing her chops, and I'm liking her more every day.
Jamie?
My thoughts is, Another World fans, our darling Anne Hesh is back. You have to watch her on Hung on HBO Sunday nights. If you don't have it, go get it. Go get HBO. Who cares if it's a recession? Vicki Hudson is back, bitches!
You silly.
Jillian?
My final thought is to the hair department over at CBS and the wardrobe department. I know that y'all slashed the licensing fees, but it does not mean that
Lucretia had to take a pay cut, too.
I know. Let's
like, I ain't bumper curling nobody's hair today.
You know, it's ridiculous. This is a soap. You're supposed to have your women looking glamorous. And my final thought is to Ron Moss, don't you ever let them put you in them silk Daisy Duke shorts again. I'm sorry. He needs to get a tan. Did you see him in them shorts? I was like, oh my God, Ron Moss, why are you letting them put you out there like that? That was so...
And I won't, you know what, since you brought that up, Jillian, I read somewhere that the Nurses Association of America is mad about Nurse Jackie because of the portrayal of nurses. I want somebody to notify the American Psychiatric Association and report both
Taylor
for having Hunter Tylo giving that man some prescription pills. Ridge had a heart attack a couple of years ago. She didn't go in and have him have a physical or nothing. She's just like, yeah, here's some anxiety pills I got prescribed. And what is a drunk doing having a dinner party for somebody and having a bunch of champagne that she keeps filling? You know, I'm like, this show is beyond crazy.
They
keep having the line in there, I'm not having any. You a drunk. You shouldn't even be around no champagne.
I know it's a soap and where, it's not supposed to be real life, but come on now. For Taylor to be giving Ridge those pills and she's not even his psychiatrist, the man had a heart attack, she's around the liquor, and Stephanie knowing her son is pill popping, she's just like,
An instant. I mean, Ridge took two pills and now they know he's addicted.
I know.
And he just screwed Taylor out of his mind. Boy, they had, anyway.
That that note, Jamie gets the final word. We would encourage you to comment on this podcast at daytimeconfidential.com. Send us an email at podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Until next time, so long.
Bye, haters.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.